If you would, please join me in prayer for the message. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it changes us. I pray, Father, that today you help me encourage your folks here, your people, your children. If any of them are waiting on God, or they're in a time or a season of silence, they're not hearing from you, or they're waiting for a circumstance or a situation to change and only you can change, I pray, Father, that you encourage them through me. And Father, we just commit this time to you now. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Today we're going to continue our struggle sermon, our sermon series. And Keith has been pretty healthy this year, so I haven't been able to preach a lot. So, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. We don't want him to be sick, but we do want him to go away, and hopefully he's having a good time away. But this is, today we're going to talk about our struggle with God's silence. What do we do in those times when God doesn't seem to be doing anything? And I want to define what God's silence is and what it isn't for this message, so you have an idea of what I'm going to be trying to address here. If you open your Bible on Sunday mornings and close it and don't open it again until the following Sunday morning, that's not God's silence. That's kind of foolishness on your part. God always talks to us through his word. He uses the Holy Spirit to do that. As we read his word, his Holy Spirit teaches us, educates us, opens our eyes, enlightens us to what we're reading. What I'm talking about is if God has given you something that you have no doubt in your mind that it's on your heart, that you are supposed to do that for God, no doubt, and he has started that process, he has orchestrated things in your life, and you're moving towards from point A to point B, and somewhere in between there, things just seem to have stopped. So that's what I want to address today. What do we do when these things happen? Full disclosure, when I was in Bible college and I was doing one of the sermon prep classes that I've taken, here's what my professor told the class. He said, it's very easy to preach 50 messages. It's hard to live one. This is my one. This is the struggle that I have to overcome on a somewhat regular basis. And here's why. God gave me something without a shadow of a doubt. Point A. And it was looking good. And about 5 years ago, the rug got pulled out. And I've been struggling since that point, waiting for God to do things. Now, he's been working, but point B is still here, and I'm closer to it, and I get closer every day, but I'm not there yet. So when I was praying about what's next in the Our Struggle Service sermon series, and this thing came up, I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't really want to do that one, but obedience is important. So let's see if we can do this one together. And if any of you are in a season of this time period where you're waiting on God, waiting for him to do something, let me hopefully encourage you today. You just got to hang on. Don't let go. All right, so I'd like to take a look at Psalm 83. This was written by Asaph. This is one of David's choir directors, if you will. There's 18 verses. I'm not going to read through them, but I want to break it down to give you an idea of what he's talking about. So in Psalm 83, 1 through 4, Asaph prays for God for help. His enemies have surrounded him. He's asking God to do something that only he can do. So he prays to God for help. In verses 5 through 8, he tells of this conspiracy that's going on. And he names names, so just to make sure that God knows who he's talking about. He says, these are the people that are causing us some problems, and we need your help. And what's really interesting is in verses 83, 9 through 18, 10 verses. So he has four verses, and then he goes to 10 verses. He asks God to take care of business. You do what you need to do here. And he actually brings things up, how God has handled things in the past. And he says, this is what we need. We need you to take care of this. So he actually asks God to be vengeful, to take care of the business. So we usually experience God's silence in some of our deepest trials. While we're waiting on God, it can be very difficult. We're praying and nothing's happening. We're waiting and nothing's happening. We know that we're supposed to be to point B, and we're just not there. God's silence can be deafening as you wait to hear something from him. When Misty asked me what the sermon was about, I told her, and I said, God's silence is the loudest noise you'll never hear, but you know it's present as you wait on God. So let me give you a list of things, reasons why God can be silent in our lives, and we're going to address them a little bit deeper as we get into the message, but I have seven listed here. Or excuse me, six. No, I don't. I have seven. It's right in front of me. There's seven. Okay, the first one is he wants us to rely more on him. We are in training in God's silence. Never forget that when you're waiting, you are in training. It may not be time yet for him to put you where you need to be. He obviously wants to take us into a deeper faith. He may want us to deal with our sin. We may be asking for selfish or foolish reasons. But most importantly, God wants to glorify himself in our situation. God is the hero of every story in the Bible. He is also the hero of your story, which isn't finished yet. Neither is mine, by the way. So let's take a look at some of these things a little deeper. He wants us to understand that we were asking for something foolish or selfish. James 4:3 says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures." While I was working on this message, I got this really interesting thing in my inbox. Interesting article. It's from December 27th, 2017, so it's 2 years old. And this is the article title. I did not write it, but this is it. It says, "Why doesn't God answer all my prayers? Because some of them are stupid." Now, that caught my attention pretty quick. So I said, well, I got to read this. So I'm going to share some of it with you. God doesn't do stupid things. No matter how many times we say please, no matter how much faith we have, no matter how hard we pray, he does strange things, hard to understand things, even things that can seem totally messed up and cruel from our limited vantage point. If you're in a season of silence, you know what that means. But he never does stupid things. I've come to believe that the main reason for my unanswered prayers is that I keep praying stupid prayers, asking God to do stupid things. And he gives a list of these things, and I was fascinated when I read them because I have heard these prayers in one shape or form over the last 20-some years of my life. One of them, the first one is, "Help me win the lottery." The one I heard was, "Help, pray for me to win the lottery so I can support the church." I'm not kidding. "Bring my cheating boyfriend or girlfriend back to me." I've heard these in churches. "Help me lose weight while I eat whatever I want and never exercise." If only that one was true, we'd be really happy Christians. This is a big one. "Bless me now, even though I've been ignoring you for years. God, I need your help, but I really haven't talked much to you. Bless me. Make me smart enough to pass a test I didn't study for. Give me a bigger ministry than the church down the street." Then we get mad when God says no to our stupid prayers. They are sincere, but stupid. So what are you waiting for? What are you asking God for? Our request may not be in his plan. God has a plan. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand." Now, it's okay for us to make plans. We may have to prepare for what's coming, but who has the final say? It's not us. All right? Know at any time God will overrule us and can. We need to deal with our sin. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Do you have sin in your life that you have not dealt with? We need to be like David and say, "Search me, O God. Any wicked way in me, show me, and I'll deal with it." And you should. Check and see where your sin is. It's not time yet. Ecclesiastes 3:1 through 8 says this, and I am going to read this all to you. "There's a time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together." Here's this next one. Listen carefully to this. "A time to be silent and a time to speak. God wrote these words. There are going to be times when he's not going to say anything. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. When Solomon wrote this, he's basically saying, God has a plan. He's in absolute control of everything. He knows exactly what's going to happen to you tomorrow. He knows exactly what's going to happen to you 6 months from today. He knows it all. He is in absolute control. And there are times when God will take us into the wilderness, and we just have to wander a little bit. Remember to stay focused on him. God wants to glorify himself. John 11, 5 and 6. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Scoot down a few sentences. John 11, 11 through 15. This he, Jesus, said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. I would have loved to have been here for this conversation. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. He'll just wake up. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. God wants to glorify himself in every situation. What do you think, or why do you think Jesus waited so long? Because if he had gone, he could have healed Lazarus, but he waited those extra couple of days because he wanted to raise him from the dead. Which one do you think glorified God more? Someone getting healed from an illness, or someone who literally had died and got up? God loves to resurrect dead things. He loves to resurrect dead things. And you may think that whatever your situation that you're in is dead. I have news for you, and it's good news. God has his hand on it. And he is going to do something. Unfortunately, I don't know when, but he does. And somewhere in this time of silence, he's going to start making some noise in your situation. I want to talk about some guys here from the Bible that this is dealing with God's silence. Each experience of these people that I'm going to show you is a little bit different. Some's due to sin, some are just due to whatever reason, but Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness. He did so because he killed an Egyptian. God needed to say, oh, he's not ready yet. He needed some time. So off into the desert he went. Joseph, his brothers hated him, and he was falsely accused of sexual assault and put in prison for years, innocent. Noah took about 75 years to build an ark. God gave him direction, he did it, and he was ridiculed for a long time. Job, God allowed severest trial to come into his life. Job was a righteous man. David was constantly tormented by Saul. And then we have Jesus, God incarnate. Waited 30 years for his ministry. Then there's you. I can't fill in that blank. You can. What are you waiting for? What is it that you're waiting for that you know that God wants to do something through your life? Now here comes some more encouragement for you. So what are the results of these people waiting on God? Moses, God uses him to set Israel free, a couple million people, and he sets them free. Joseph becomes the second most powerful man in the world and saves the world from starving. Noah saves the human and the animal creation. Job receives double blessing after his trials, but most importantly, he experiences God in a way he never would have without his trials. He became very close to God, so much so that he could barely talk at the end of that whole conversation, at the end of his trials. God protects David, vindicates him, and becomes king. Now he fails down the road, but that happens. Then we talk about Jesus, our Savior. He's coming back. And he's going to fix the world the only way that he can, because no one else can. Then there's you. God's going to fill in that blank. He is going to finish your story. He does not stop working. God does not sleep nor slumber. He does not stop working. He has his hand on your life. So whatever it is that you know without a shadow of a doubt that God wants to do through you, it will happen. You just may need to spend some time in the desert. You may need to be tormented by someone for a while before he can vindicate you. I don't know. But God will finish your story. Then we have this. What if God remains silent? What if he says nothing? What if he does nothing? And this comes out of Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This could have been the shortest message you've ever heard. I could have come up and said, I don't know why God's silent, read you that scripture, we could be having lunch. I don't know. I cannot read the mind of God, and whenever I try, I fail miserably. There are some times that God just does things for a plan and a purpose that we will never see, at least on this side. And that's where our faith comes in. That's where our trusting God comes in. And that's hard for me to sit up here and say, well, you know what? God may just stay silent. But I know God has done, well, I know too. But God may stay silent. And I don't know why. And that's hard for me to say to you. God may not want you to have what you're asking for. He may be protecting you from something or someone by not making any noise and staying silent. He still allows us to make decisions for ourselves. We have some free will. And sometimes our free will, we just know that God doesn't know what we really need. I know better than God, so I'm going to go out, and then we end up messing things up so bad that there's just no recovery sometimes. But God still loves you, and He still has that plan for you. God may want to strengthen you so you can serve Him in a new and exciting way. And I'd be willing to bet that if you've been in a season of silence for a long time, God may be asking you, do you trust me? And I can ask you the same question. Do you trust God in your season of silence? Do you believe that God is involved? Do you believe that God is still active? And do you believe that God is going to somehow, in some way, deliver you and put you in the spot that He needs you to be in? I hope you say yes. So what should we do? What do we do while we wait on God? So I'm going to give you some things here that we do. The first thing we do is we complain. And here's some of the questions that we ask. Where are you, God? God, what are you doing? God, have you forgotten me? Now, let me just say something about questioning God. If you do it respectfully and reverentially, that's okay. But I think if you get an attitude with it, you may have a problem. There are some that wait a while and then walk away from God and protest. God, you have no idea what you're doing. You gave me this and we're not here yet. We're at point A, but we're not at point B. What are you doing? Here's something else we do. We compare ourselves to others and wonder why they are receiving answers to their prayers and we are not. About 3.5 years ago, I had two men contact me within 24 hours. They were in the same situation that I was in. They asked me to pray for them. They knew my situation. They said, listen, we know what you're going through, but we would really like you. Could you please pray for me? And they talked to me, both of them, at separate times. I said, sure. Within 3 days, the first guy that contacted me, his prayer was answered. Within 10 days, the second guy's prayer got answered. And I'm like, all right, God, that's 2 out of 3. 3.5 years ago. Guess what? I'm still waiting. Yeah, exactly. I'm still waiting. It's like, this is ridiculous. It's crazy. But here's what God is saying. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? The answer is yes. So what should we do while we wait on God? First of all, we got to trust Him. God loves you and has a personal plan for your life. Listen carefully. Every one of us in here, God has a plan for you. Every one of you has a different plan. There is something that God wants you to do, He needs you to do, and it is specifically designed for you. It's your plan. God has it. Remember that. Hang on. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. No matter what I'm going through, God, I trust you. I know that you've got something going on here. I know you're working. And one thing, too, is God has to work with us. Sometimes we can be stubborn, yes? Yeah, nobody's admitting to that. Think of having 3 million children, and they're all sinners, and they all have their own way and their own will. Some of you have 3 or 4 kids, and you want to jump out the window. So think about that for a second. We're not always easy. So something else we should do. We read the Bible, we find a scripture that deals with our situation, and we bite down on it, and we hang on to it as every day. You memorize it, you read it, you understand it, you grab a hold of it, and you trust God. This is God's promise. This is my situation. They match up perfectly. I'm hanging on to this. And I would recommend you find more than one. We pray, not always for an answer, but to get close to God. Something that is very important for us is we need to pray that our will is aligned with His. Because if we get selfish, things go south. If we pray that our will aligns with God's, that will help us. We believe that God is in absolute control of everything and He has our situation completely in hand. He knows. God sees. We praise Him in the waiting period. Oswald Chambers says this, God gives us the vision, then He takes us down the valley to batter us into the shape of the vision, and it is in the valley that so many of us faint and give way. Every vision will be made real if we will have patience. Mr. Chambers, much wisdom. So here's what he's saying. If you're waiting, keep waiting. You're in training. Now, I don't know if the word batter kind of struck me a little bit, but it's true. Sometimes God needs to use a little more force with us because of that free will that we have and that sin nature that we deal with. And there are times when we fight God on all kinds of things. I'm not going to ask you who's done that before, but I'd be willing to bet that at one time or another, God has told you to do something, put it on your heart, and you're like, do it anyway. We accept and praise Him for whatever answer He has for us, knowing that He wants His best for our lives. So what happens, how do you act when God answers prayers for that person you've been praying for and not yours? So let's say during the praise time today, this whole side of the room has a prayer that matches this side. So we all have the same prayer. So we all pray for each other. Next week we come back, this whole side of the room goes, this was great, man. By Monday, Tuesday, our prayers were answered and you guys are still waiting. Sorry, this side of the room. How are you going to act? There's a sign of spiritual maturity when that happens. When those guys called me and told me that their prayer was answered, I was really, honestly, I was very happy for them because I know that one of them had been struggling for a long time. And I was very excited. I was really excited. Now, a part of me was like, okay, any day now. And, well, sometimes you got to wait. But it's important that we rejoice with the others. We can never forget our humanness. God never does. God doesn't forget that we're still a human creation. There are going to be times when God uses times of waiting to break us so He can teach us new things and have us serve Him in new ways. If you would, please, turn to the book of Luke 22, 42 to 44. I want to take a look at something here in hopes that I can encourage you a little more. Jesus is in the garden. This is the night before His crucifixion. And He's struggling a little bit. And Luke is the only gospel that actually brings this one sentence out, and we're going to look at it. So this is what, starting in 42, saying, Father, if You are willing, remove this cup from Me, yet not My will, yet not My will, but Yours be done. 43 is what I want you to focus on. Now an angel from heaven appeared to Him, strengthening Him. 44, and being in agony, He was praying very fervently, and His sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. If you look at verse 43, strengthening Him in the Greek means to spur on. And that next sentence, it says, Jesus prayed fervently. So whatever that angel did, it worked. And Jesus prayed fervently. There are going to be times in your life when you get so discouraged you want to quit. Don't, because God will send you someone, and I'd be willing to bet that you guys have experienced this somewhere along the line, where God will send someone to you to encourage you to say, don't stop, don't quit, don't give up. Last November I had breakfast with a pastor friend of mine I hadn't seen in 2 years. 2 years I hadn't seen him. Had a great time. Ate a lot, was good. Talked to him, got caught up. And on our way out, he said, Russ, I just wanted to say something to you. He says, we had all the food and we had the conversation, but there's something I want to tell you. And he said something to me that almost knocked me over. And it encouraged me. And he was the first of about 7 people over the next few months that would come to me and say almost the exact same thing. I'm like, man, God is sending me people, and this must be something to this. And I have not quit, and I have not given up, and you shouldn't either. How many of you have ever had that experience where someone has come to you at your probably one of your lowest times and said, you know, you can do this. Not on your strength, but His. You can do this. Or more importantly, has God ever put it on your heart to go to someone, maybe someone sitting next to you this morning and saying, you know, maybe I should encourage them with something. This man had no idea what I was going through. None at that time. So I know it was all God. And the people that came after him also really didn't know. If God puts it on your heart to encourage someone, get up and do it. I cannot remember who said it, but if somebody said, I can't remember his name, but he said, get off your blessed assurance and do something. Do something. Don't stop serving God. Don't stop encouraging. Hang in there. Look at some applications here. I'm going to ask you some questions. One of them is, can you wait on God patiently? Anybody here need work on patience? Don't raise your hand. God will know. And you know what happens when you pray for patience? But can you wait on God patiently? Can you wait on Him to start making some noise? While you wait, are you still serving God and His people? Or are you sitting in a corner going, I'm just not doing anything anymore? God's not answering my prayer. My circumstance, my situation hasn't changed. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't love me. He's forgotten about me. While you wait, are you reading and studying the Word? Are you looking for the Scriptures that are going to help you and the people around you? While you wait. While you wait, are you allowing yourself to be human? And are you telling God that you are struggling in this season? I think I made this comment the very first time I preached here. God already knows your struggle. Tell Him how you feel. Share with your heavenly dad. Man, I'm not doing well in this situation. This is a tough season for me. I'm really not doing well. I can't move. I don't know what you're doing. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And you do that with reverential fear, there will be a peace that comes upon you. Because He knows that you're struggling. He already knows. Are you telling God what you want, or are you asking God what He wants for you? Remember, are you having stupid prayers? Please don't be offended. I'm just going back to the article. What are you praying for? What are you waiting for? Here's a tough one. Will you be content and experience joy if God remains silent? Will you still be able to praise God even in your silent season, even if it lasts a long time? I'm sure you've heard some of these before. God's delays are not God's denials. And just because God is silent does not mean God is absent. You guys know I'm a Spurgeon fan, so I have a quote that I want to give to you. Charles Spurgeon says this, "You may fear that the Lord has passed you by, but it is not so. He who counts the stars and calls them by their names is in no danger of forgetting his own children." You are not forgotten. You are not forgotten in your season of waiting. You are not forgotten in the silence that comes from heaven sometimes. God is still in control. He still cares about you. He still has that plan for your life that He wants you to do, to glorify Him. Are you willing to wait patiently? Are you willing to praise Him in that time of trial while you wait for God to do whatever He needs to do? The quote that I gave you about God being silent does not mean that He is absent. There's about 400 and some years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some people go, well, not much has been going on then. If you do a study on that time period, historically, a whole bunch of stuff is going on. And I mean a whole bunch of stuff. God was not quiet. He was not silent. Now, there's nothing strongly theological per se, because it obviously didn't make the Bible. But there was a lot of historical stuff going on. Just for fun, do a study on that sometime. You'll see what happens between the Old and New Testament. It's very important, too. So again, He's maybe quiet in the one sense, but in another sense, He's always working. There are things going on all the time with Him. There are going to be times when God is silent in our lives. We need to remember that God is not in a hurry. He does not have a watch. He does not have a calendar. He is eternal. He gave us time for us. He's not in a hurry to do things. He wants to do them right. He wants to do them orderly, and we need to cooperate with him. If you're not cooperating, that's between you and God. But if you are cooperating and it's still silent, there's something else he's doing. He's either preparing you, he's preparing the other people, the other place, or a combination of those things. But he has not forgotten. He has a plan, and sometimes that plan includes a time of waiting, and that waiting is what leads to our struggle. So I ask you this question. Do you trust God enough if you're in a season of silence? And by the way, if you're not in one now, you may be coming into one. I don't know what God has plans for you. Read the Word, trust God, hang on to that Word. Don't let go of God. Join me in prayer, if you would, please. Father God, I just lift up these folks to you. And I just pray if there's anyone here that is in this season of silence, I pray, Father, that you encourage them, that you send people to encourage them, to spur them on. I pray, Father, also that if someone has been in this time for a long time, that you would move quickly. Show them what you want them to do and let them do it. Let them serve you in a new way, Father. I lift these people up to you, and I pray, Father, that they will be encouraged by either yourself or one of us that you send to them. And I pray, Father, that they're willing to share their struggle with us and each other. That's why we have our prayer and praise time, so that we can lift each other up. And I just pray, Father, for each and every person here, that you will touch their lives in new and exciting ways this week. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.